It doesn't matter how much you have, money can still cause a lot of tension in a marriage. Hi, I'm Rob West. Well, there's no question that money is one of the biggest causes of tension in a marriage, sometimes even leading to divorce. Today, I'll talk with Shanti Feldhahn about three steps you can take to ease that tension. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, we're so blessed to have relationship expert Shanti Feldhahn back with us today. She's a good friend. She's written several very helpful books about marriage. And in particular, today we'll be discussing thriving in love and money. Shanti, welcome back to the program.
It's always great to be with you.
Well, I'm delighted, and this is such a key topic that so many of our listeners need to tackle, and so we're going to dive in today and hopefully give them some really practical handles that will help them. You know, they say about marriage, Shanti, when money troubles come in the door, love goes out the window. But, of course, you and your husband, Jeff, have done some great research that's identified how to avoid that, and I know you say in the book a lot of it comes down to really three steps that couples need to take to avoid this tension or conflict in their marriage around money. So just give us an overview of those steps and then we'll dive in a bit more.
Sure. Yeah. This actually comes out of the research project. We did a 3-year research project to try to figure out what are these things that are going to help us. And so we found that there's three specific things. There's lots of things that anybody can do, right?
Yes.
But there's three things that are particularly high leverage. And by that, I mean, like, if you do this, it has an outsized impact, okay?
Yes.
So the three things are you have to have built up or build up some cushion, some margin in your budget, in your finances. The second thing is you really have to be able to talk to your spouse about money.
For sure.
It can't just be a one-person thing. It has to be two people, and you have to be able to communicate about it. And then actually one of the biggies is you really have to understand what's going on underneath the surface and how you and how your spouse respond to money.
That's so good. I want to start there with this last one before the break. And I know you spend a majority of the book really unpacking how to understand what's underneath the surface and leading to some of these big aha moments. We'll, in a future interview, maybe go deep into those. But give us an overview, if you will, of this last step, and that is understanding how we and our spouse respond to money.
Yeah, it's really crucial because honestly, you kind of have to do that in order to do the other two steps.
Yes.
And so here's really the bottom line is to recognize that if there is tension around money, it is not about the money.
Yes.
It turns out it's about how money makes us feel and how it makes our spouse feel. And it's about all of these like insecurities and worries and beliefs about how money should work that are running under the surface. And we have two different sets of those.
Yeah.
And it's funny, I was in the middle of the research for this and I was speaking at a big women's convention a few years ago, right in the middle of it. And I always kind of interview people no matter where I am.
Sure.
I'm trying to like, tell me how you think.
Yes.
And so I was talking to this one couple that ran one of the exhibit booths at this big convention, and they were both kind of sheepish about the fact that they hadn't really connected around money, even though they kind of wanted to, sort of. They were essentially like, the husband said, I've got no problem with planning. Like, that's a good idea, but our income is so cyclical. You know, we can come away from this convention having made a ton or nothing, right?
Yes.
And it's like, how do you plan for that? And the problem is, I don't have a problem with planning, but I do have a problem with planning when it means I'm going to be clashing about money with her.
Yes.
and that is the issue that we found is present in many couples, including, by the way, me and Jeff.
Right.
When we started this project.
I can only imagine you all began to unearth some things you had to deal with, and we all do, which is why this is so key. Well, we're going to continue this conversation just around the corner and get into these other two steps. Why is cushion in your budget so important for alleviating conflict in marriage around money and communication? It always comes back to communication, right? Sean T. Feldhahn with us today. Much more to come just around the corner. Stay with us.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Stuff, I'll say it, more stuff. That could be the short story to consumerism in the West. We're fed promises all day, every day, that if we could only get more and more, more money, more stuff, more property, then we would be happy. It's an ancient promise. Jesus knew about it too. He rejected Satan's offer of this promise, and he taught his people to do the same. Matthew 16, what does it profit you if you gain the entire world yet lose your soul? The answer is nothing. It's not good to gather more and more if your soul is lost in the process. Rather, follow the way of Jesus. Service and devotion, help to the hurting, that is true profit. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit GetAnchor.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
If I visualize my problems without God in the picture, I'm depressed. And truly, much praying can be depressing. Because we give God the grocery list of all of our problems and we've forgotten the greatness of the one to whom we pray.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, The Tender Warrior, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's Cards That Give to Missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
Hope for Zambia, empowered by Family Legacy, is a ministry providing hope to vulnerable and orphan children in Zambia by investing into their spiritual, intellectual, physical, and emotional growth and well-being. Whether distributing 5 million meals each year to students or empowering them to graduate from high school and go on to pursue post-secondary education, we believe that when you educate a child, you change their world. Go to hopeforzambia.com/faith to transform a life.
Delighted to have you back with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm joined today by my good friend Sean T. Feldhahn. She was an analyst on Wall Street. She got her graduate degree from Harvard University. She's a best-selling author and social researcher. And today we're talking about her book, Thriving in Love and Money, that she wrote with her husband, Jeff, and specifically three steps you can take to ease the tension around money in marriage. She started by talking about this critical topic of understanding what's underneath the money conversation, all of those things that are about anything but money that are so key for us to understand. The book dedicates a significant portion to unearthing those things, and that's why you need to pick up a copy of it. But we're going to move on to the other two keys. And you said beyond understanding, Sean T., that really we need to have some margin in the budget. And this was interesting, because so often we think about, well, we just need a little more income. And it wasn't a matter of the income in your research. It was really around the fact that you were living on less than your income, wasn't it?
Oh, yes. What we found is that no matter where the line was for the couples, we had a couple thousand people in our study group on this. And this, by the way, these were nationally representative surveys.
Okay.
These weren't just like Facebook polls. So this was nationally representative across all the demographics you can think of. What we found is no matter what level people were at in their income, it wasn't that number. It was living below that number that mattered. So that you have a little bit of cushion. Now, some people was just a little, right? Some people had a higher amount. But what we found is the presence of that cushion was one of the key factors that kind of, it helped avoid some of the most dangerous tensions. We found that there were some tensions around money that are a lot more concerning than others that cause a lot more damage to the relationship. And actually having that cushion helped avoid it. So, you know, for example, let's just say that, you know, you're living close to the line, you know, maybe you've got a smaller income and your car breaks. Well, if you've got some cushion to be able to fix that car, it's like less likely that a lot of stuff in your relationship is going to, you know, you're not going to be as thrown. You're not going to be as likely to yell at each other. You're not going to be as likely to do some of these things that cause completely different issues way beyond the fact that you have to fix the car. And so that's really the cool thing about cushion. It's protective, not just of your finances, but of your relationship.
Yeah, and there's so many implications around having that margin, including one of these big traps in marriage around money, and that is hiding purchases or doing things that you haven't informed your spouse about, right?
Oh, sure. And that's not just related to cushion, obviously, because there's a whole host of reasons that go back to understanding each other that helps you build that cushion in a healthy way, because you can have cushion and still hide stuff.
Yes, that's right.
You know, it's like, what are those things that really are going to help with the relationship? But if you know those things, it helps you build the cushion and helps with everything else.
Yeah. And that's why the budget is so key, having that spending plan where both of you are involved in the process to give every dollar a name. That budget, Shanti, can actually become an instrument of peace, can't it?
Absolutely. The budget is just, it is a tool that is so, so crucial. And yet, here's something that's going to actually maybe push a couple of buttons for you and your audience, if you don't mind me saying so.
No problem.
It is really crucial, but you have to be able to understand one another in order to develop that budget, right? Like you have to be able to, in order for it to not be just a one person thing and for it to be a two person thing, you have to be able to have that conversation and understand what each of you are valuing and all that kind of stuff. And that's sometimes a little bit hard if it's like a money person married to somebody who's just not as interested in talking about it or whatever, but both people matter and the understanding has to happen in order to actually create that budget. And so the other thing that I wanted to mention that's maybe going to push a couple of buttons is that what we found is that going to, for example, a budgeting class at church, right? Like you're in some sort of a financial management workshop or how to get out of debt or whatever. What we found in the survey is that there's only 23% of people can talk about money. And guess who goes to the budgeting class at church?
The people who can talk about money.
People who can already talk about money. And so one of the things that we have to grapple with that's really, really crucial is to recognize that there are many, many marriages out there, maybe people listening to this, where the money person has been trying to kind of carry it single-handedly, and they don't realize that maybe they haven't really opened the door and drawn their spouse into that conversation.
Yeah, that's really good. Well, let's go there next, because we've talked about you need to understand what's underneath the money conversation. We've talked about the fact that you need margin in your budget each month. This third one is all about communication. And I'm not surprised. It seems like everything in marriage comes back to being able to communicate well. So what else might you be able to offer for our listeners today in that area?
So the communication thing is, it is really, it's the secret weapon. And here's the issue again for, I think, people to grapple with. As you heard, 23% of people could talk about money well. 77% can't. And this is, yeah, as I think I said before, it's a nationally representative survey. So this is very, very common, right?
Yes.
And here's really what we found in the, we did some regression analyses and we looked at some of the different factors. And we actually found that communication even trumps having that cushion and having the perfect budget and having built up the margin. If you, what we found is that statistically, if you can talk about money, even if that sort of technical stuff isn't perfect, you are far likely, more likely to avoid the negative tensions and the problems and the resentment and the defensiveness than if you have the perfect budget and you've built up lots of cushion and, you know, whatever, but you can't talk about money.
Yeah.
And so that's something for, again, for people who are more money people to recognize that, wow, you know, I've been doing a lot of this solo, right? Like I've been creating the perfect, you know, budget and the great spreadsheets, and I've been working 80-hour weeks to build up, you know, a retirement plan, and all that stuff is good. It's not like that's bad, it's good. But what we found is that you are far more likely to have a better relationship if you can pull in your spouse on that, even if some of that stuff isn't quite the way you wanted it. You're far more likely to have a great relationship around this area.
Yeah. Well, Shanti, we've just scratched the surface today, but this is so key and helpful. And there's a lot of fruit that comes from leaning into this, Shanti. I mean, I know you and Jeff experienced it in your own marriage. Isn't that right?
Yes. I was worried you were going to come back to that one. We started out not being able to talk about money at all, and doing so just changed everything in our relationship.
Oh, I love it. And that's what I want for our listeners. I so appreciate you stopping by and taking a few minutes to be with us today.
Absolutely.
That's Shanti Feldhahn, best-selling author and researcher. Pick up a copy of this book. Your marriage will be better for it. It's called Thriving in Love and Money. Much more just around the corner. Stay with us.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days, we've been banned twice. And is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need you, YouTube.
Banned one day. Banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like Today's Issues straight from the source.
Put back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
Unbanned.
Just search AFA streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. SoundMindInvesting.org.
My wife's aunt passed away, and we received a considerable inheritance from that. We talked to the people at AFA Foundation, and they were very caring. What excites us about the charitable gift annuity is we will always have income coming in. It will be steady. We won't outlive it.
See if a charitable gift annuity is right for you. Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Well, happy Friday to you. I'm Rob West. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, and it's time to talk money, God's money. Let's apply biblical wisdom to the financial decisions and choices you're making today. There's something going on in your financial life that I'm sure you'd love to talk about. We'd love to talk about it with you, and we've got some lines open. So give us a call right now at 800-525-7000. Robert, standing by to take your calls today, and we'll look forward to hearing from you. Again, lines are open, 800-525-7000, whether it's debt repayment, maybe it's what we started with today with Shanti Feldhahn, our good friend, Harvard researcher, author. Shanti was saying that in this area of love and money, we can have God's best. We can pursue oneness, but it's going to take some effort. We're going to have to communicate. We're going to have to take some time to work on our spending plan because cushion is so key. I love what my pastor, Clay Smith, says. He mentioned just the other day that he and his wife, Terica, have what they call a weekly coin and calendar conversation. They take a time with a busy household with kids at home and in elementary and high school to review the calendar once a week just to make sure they understand where everybody's going and where they need to be, but also to look at God's money and how is the budget working itself out? What course corrections do they need to make? The former host of this program, our good friend Howard Dayton, used to call that a money date. He would recommend you do it at least monthly. Weekly is even better, but it's just that opportunity, not for finger pointing, but really for communication, to be able to talk about what is happening in your financial life, how you're able to pursue your goals based on your values, and what course corrections need to be made along the way. I would highly encourage you to do that, but perhaps today you're having some struggles in marriage around money, and you want to know, how do you come together around a spending plan, given that you're both different people? You were wired differently. You were you had different money upbringings. Perhaps one grew up with an abundance. One grew up in a situation where there was not much in the way of financial resources, and that has shaped how you approach money today, whether you hold it with a clenched fist or an open hand. Maybe you're struggling in marriage around the whole giving topic. We'd love to talk about that. But whatever's on your financial mind today, we're going to begin tackling your questions here in just a moment. So get those calls in right now with lines open, 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. A couple of emails today. These come to us at askrob@faithfi.com. And feel free to send an email along to have it read on the air. Erica writes, can my credit score change when I cancel a credit card? And Erica, yeah, it probably will change. You know, when you close a credit account, it affects your credit history, your credit utilization, and possibly your credit mix. Those are three of the factors that go into making up your score. The impact will typically be temporary and your score will recover. It is, however, best to close only one account every 6 months or so to minimize the impact on your credit score. Why are those three things changing? Well, your history changes because when you close that credit account, depending on which credit bureau you're working with, it may or may not be removed from your credit history. That would, of course, change your history. Second, it will change your credit utilization because if that card is no longer in the mix, that limit is no longer factored in to the total available credit you have. Therefore, any balance you're carrying is a higher percentage of the overall credit you have extended to you. And so that potentially could raise your credit utilization. If that goes over 10%, certainly over 30%, that will bring your score down slightly. And then possibly your credit mix. What is that? Well, the credit scoring algorithm factors in whether you have different types of credit. And I know this may seem counterproductive, but the idea is that you have, if you have some revolving accounts, you have some installment accounts, you have a mortgage, they're all in good standing. That says that you're a better risk. The score is all about this idea of how likely are you to repay as agreed. And if you have a good credit, a healthy mix of credit, well, that's going to work in your favor. All three of those, history, utilization, and mix, can change when you close an account. That's why it will often come down 30 to 50 points. But again, it's often temporary. Hey, if you have a question you'd like to send it along, feel free to email it to us. We'll try to get it on the air at askrob@faithfi.com. All right, it's time to take your questions today. Again, we've got a couple of lines open. We'd love to hear from you on any financial topic. The number is 800-525-7000, whether you want to talk about money and marriage, where we started today, or any other financial topic. We'd love to tackle it. Let's begin in Oklahoma. Hi, Jim. Thanks for calling, sir. How can I help?
Oh, I just had a couple of comments about your money and marriage problem.
Yes, sir.
I told your screener that people fail to realize that when they make a promise to God that you'll be with that person through good or bad or whatever, that's first and foremost. And if you keep that in mind, there won't be any divorce or money won't be the problem. And the second comment was that and then he will provide for you. I don't even worry about a cushion. I just trust in God.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said, Jim. I appreciate that. You know, God's design obviously is for us to be married. That's a commitment we make for a lifetime. And his goal is oneness. And that includes every area of our lives, including how we manage his money. Ultimately, you're right. He is our provider. So our trust needs to be squarely in him, not our employer, not the U.S. government, not anyone other than the Lord himself. I think the thing that we often hear from folks is, and the reason that the data will say that 70% of married couples have conflict over money is that we're created uniquely, right? We all have different money backgrounds. We're wired differently. One might be a spender, one might be a saver. And so that, just like anything in marriage, requires communication, requires that we come together. And I love the idea that the spending plan, which I think is very biblical, that we would say, God, I want to take what you provided and I want to have a plan so I can use it as a tool to accomplish your purposes, that budget, that spending plan would actually be an instrument of peace because we work on it together as a married couple. We make the decisions in advance, and that helps us to have greater unity in marriage. But your points are very well taken, Jim. We appreciate you being on the program. More calls just around the corner on Faith and Finance. Stick around.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Find peace in God's Word. In Nahum 1:3, the Lord has His way in the whirlwind. Frequently in life, we find ourselves in a whirlwind, don't we? Really, the wording means His way prevails even over above the storms of the whirlwind. God is in control. He has His way even above the noise of the storm.
Don't miss Exploring the Word with Dr. Alex McFarland weekdays at 3 p.m. Central on AFR or catch up with the podcast at AFR.net.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jessica Peck, host of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, the home of happy parents and healthy teens on AFR.net. I serve as your expert guide to engage, equip, encourage, and empower you to navigate life's toughest issues with your teens. We explore health impacts and home strategies to create a safe space in an unsafe world. The Dr. Nurse Mama Show on AFR.net.
That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Why is this an important topic? Why dedicate an hour each day to talking about managing money? Is it so we can enrich ourselves? No, it's because this is a high calling that you and I have been given as managers of the King of Kings resources. It all belongs to God. And so every program we offer here on American Family Radio is about how you can live with a biblical worldview, with confidence, being salt and light in our culture, and being a wise and faithful steward of everything God has entrusted to us, our relationships and His Word and our time and our gifts and talents. And yes, the money that He has entrusted to us. So we want to take you back each day to God's Word to pull out the principles, the big ideas and themes in Scripture, and help you apply those to the daily financial decisions you're making. So what's on your mind today? We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000. I've got about two lines open. Back to the phones we go. Trish is in Texas. Trish, you go right ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm calling because my husband has, most of what we have is in investments, and we do not have a will. Now, I am the primary beneficiary on most everything, and so he tells me that a will not matter. There will be no, issue with probate or whatever if I needed to use some of the money, and I'm just worried about that. I feel like there needs to be a will, and I cannot... He tells me he's going to do it, but he doesn't do it, and it worries me. And then a second question is, so my parents had left me some money, and I didn't know if I could go in and set up a will myself without getting into his will. I'm sorry, I'm out in the wind. Can you hear me?
I sure can. Yeah, no problem.
Okay.
I certainly can understand what you're saying here, Trish, and why it's causing you some concern. I think you need to, and it sounds like maybe you have, but maybe you need to sit down again, maybe even say, listen, I'm willing to take this on and get us an appointment scheduled with an estate planning attorney to draw up a basic will. It shouldn't cost more than $300 to $500. The other approach is maybe say, as a stopgap, I'm going to use one of the online tools to do this, just so we have something in place, but still, you know, take the opportunity to go ahead and, I would say, it's better to have a professional help you here. Essentially, just let him know that, I mean, this is going to prepare your assets so that your wishes and the law is followed in the event of your death. And so your estate is everything you own. Now, on those investment accounts, as long as there's a beneficiary named, then that will handle the expedient transfer or distribution of those assets to the heir. And coming to you or going to him. That will happen outside of probate. So very simple, but very important that you make sure those beneficiary designations are up to date. But we want to make sure you have a will for everything else, your car, your home, your life insurance, all your personal possessions. And so that will make sure that those assets and personal items are passed in the way you all want. What if you both pass away at the same time? You wouldn't want the state making that decision as to where those are going to go. And at the same time, and these are just as important, Trish, is you all can have a power of attorney drafted. So if one of you is incapacitated, the other could act on his or her behalf. Funeral arrangements, healthcare directives. All of this can be taken care of at that one time. But if you don't have a will, the state is going to decide where your money goes. And if you had minor children, who gets guardianship, that may not be an issue any longer. But it's just really important that you take care of this. So I would just sit down and have that heart-to-heart conversation. Say, listen, honey, I realize this is something that's easy to put off. I'm guilty of putting things off all the time that need to be done, but this is really important to me. I'm willing to take the lead on it. And, you know, can I go ahead and schedule that appointment? Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
All right.
But it does put my mind to rest a little bit to know that as long as the primary, you know, that stuff's in place, which
the beneficiary
is taken. Yeah.
Yes.
So anyway,
probably not a bad idea to take a look at those, but you still need a will for everything else. And whether you guys do that online or you take my preferred approach of visiting with an estate attorney just to get that knocked out, that would be a great next step. If you don't know where to go, you don't have someone, then just contact a certified Kingdom advisor there in Texas and ask for a referral to a godly estate attorney. They'll all have one. Just go to our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com, and click find a CKA. Thanks for being on the program today, Trish. We appreciate it. May the Lord bless you. To West Virginia, hey, Dave, how can I help you?
Hey, Rob, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I got a credit card question. I'm trying to rebuild my credit a little bit. I'm down in the mid-600s. I'm trying to get back to 800. As I'm paying off credit card debt, is it beneficial for me to contact credit card company and actually close the account?
Yeah.
Or would it be beneficial to leave it open with the zero balance? Which way do I need to work that?
It's a good question. If your primary concern right now is getting your credit score up, I might leave it open. I'll tell you why in here in just a second. Typically, I'd say let's go ahead and close it if you're not using it any longer, because that's just one more card that you're going to have to keep track of to make sure that it's not compromised, that there wasn't any fraudulent purchases. So even if you're not actively using it, you need to continue to check on it. Now, the reason, if you're worried about your credit score and it's been, you know, it's down in the 600, you're trying to get it back up, you may want to leave it open, is I heard you say you're working on paying down some credit card debt, which means you're carrying balances. If you were to close that account that you've zeroed out, that's going to lower the total available credit that you have access to, which is going to make those balances you're carrying that you're working on, but those balances are now going to be a higher percentage of the total credit that's available to you. And your credit utilization, that percentage of debt that you have outstanding versus the what's available to you, is one of the biggest drivers of your credit score. So I would say, as you're working on paying those down, let's only close an account if the remaining balances are less than 30% of the total available credit. And if by closing this account is going to push you above 30% credit utilization, then I'd keep it open. Does that all make sense?
Yes, sir. Sure does.
Okay. So I think that's really your key right now as you continue to look at this. And, you know, the biggest thing, I think, Dave, is after credit utilization is, you know, obviously you being an on-time payer is really key. If you had any late payments or black marks, you know, the further they get in the past, the less they'll impact you. The most recent information is going to impact you the most. Was there a single event, or what was it that caused you to get down into the 600s?
Well, I don't know. I think it was just a matter of, my thinking is having too many accounts open. I've got four credit cards, you know, I've got a I got a motorcycle that's financed. I've got car payments. I've got, I'm just thinking that I've got too much stuff out there for what's driving my balance, driving my score down.
Yeah.
I checked my score the other day, and it'd been close to 800 for a long, long time. I ran my credit the other day, and it's like 630. I'm like, I just can't figure out.
Well, here's something else for you to consider. You know, depending on who you're pulling it from, it can vary. Also, that tells me that significant drop, you may have some inaccurate information. Pull all three reports at annualcreditreport.com free. Review each of those files, and let's make sure there's not any inaccurate information on there. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
Trump derangement syndrome was a virus that spread like COVID.
Yeah.
And CNN decided, you know what? We're not going to do news coverage anymore. We're going to go full board against Trump.
You're driving your business in the ground.
Yeah. That's why I think they should take this opportunity and go back to doing news instead of doing progressive propaganda.
Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Every city was different where the Apostle Paul traveled in his life as a missionary, sharing Jesus Christ in the Greco-Roman Empire. I'm Charles Morris, inviting you to join me as we visit some of those cities on a program series this week called 10,000 Miles with Paul.
Haven today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at afr.net.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Just a moment, we'll be heading back to the phones. We've got a few lines open, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Tim in Virginia will be coming your way in just a moment. We are getting some information out this morning that despite the recent Supreme Court decision blocking widespread student loan forgiveness, the Biden administration has announced it will go ahead with a much smaller but very significant student debt forgiveness to the tune of $39 billion. The move is expected to affect about 800,000 borrowers. The administration is saying the forgiveness is the result of correcting, quote, errors in the student loan system's income-driven repayment plans. Those plans are designed basically to cancel remaining debt after borrowers have faithfully made payments for 20 or 25 years, depending on when the loans were taken out. It's unclear whether this latest move by the administration will face a court challenge, as previous attempts at loan forgiveness have. The Department of Education is currently working on rules for another massive student loan forgiveness initiative under the Higher Education Act. That initiative will likely face significant court challenges. So this is a continuing conversation. There's a lot more to come on this, and we'll certainly keep you posted along the way. But we're just getting news of this latest action from the Biden administration. All right, 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's head to Virginia. Hi, Tim. Go ahead, sir.
Can you hear me all right?
I sure can. Yeah, thank you for your call.
I'm so grateful to be able to call. I've been trying to get the time to call for a while to ask this question of you. I'm in my mid-50s. I'll just say I find myself after some activity in the stock market trading myself. That's not all my debt, but I'm over $100,000 in debt at the moment. God's blessed me with self-employment, which I'm enjoying. Good. And but I have a lot of debt to pay back. I've got $20,000 on one credit card, four other cards, a total of close to that $20,000. I owe $35,000 actually to the IRS themselves. I have a car loan, and I keep hearing ads on actually American Family Radio for this debt consolidation service. They're a Christian service. I'm making payments all right. I'm following the snowball plan, going to try to snowball things down, and I'm not missing any payments. I'm exceeding. My question is, do I need to – will I be better off going with this debt consolidation company, or just toughing it out on my own, keep on going like I'm going?
Yeah.
Which would be
I appreciate your call, Tim, and the background here. A couple of thoughts, and then I'll give you kind of my recommendation on where you go from here. Number one, I appreciate your transparency. I appreciate you owning this debt. I don't hear you saying you're thinking about filing bankruptcy. You know, you're taking God's word seriously that says the wicked borrows and does not repay. And so despite some decisions you probably would have done differently in the past, you're taking full responsibility for this. I think that's great. Clearly, that honors the Lord. You're also wanting to be wise about how you go about this and seeking wise counsel, and I think that's a good idea. I would also say that, we have some wonderful partners here at American Family Radio and some great, trustworthy organizations. So if you hear from someone on AFR, I think you can know that, they're a trustworthy partner. My preferred approach to what you're describing is not debt consolidation, and that has nothing to do with the organization you're mentioning. I'm just talking in terms of debt repayment strategies. My preferred approach is not debt consolidation, where you take out a new loan to try to pay these off. What I would do is, because I hear that most of this is on credit cards, I wouldn't try to play the balance transfer game. I wouldn't take out a new loan. I certainly wouldn't collateralize it, against your home or anything else. I would first look at debt management, which is also called credit counseling. Are you familiar with that term?
Credit counseling. I've heard the term, but I don't really know what it is.
Okay. Yeah. So debt consolidation is where you take out a new loan and pay off the debt. That's not what we're talking about. Debt settlement is where you stop paying and it gets into a past due status, and then you try to negotiate with them. Meanwhile, your credit has been destroyed and they probably will file legal action. I don't recommend that ever. So the third option is debt management, or what's called credit counseling. Essentially, the debt stays right where it is with your existing creditors, but through credit counseling, if you work with a nonprofit credit counseling agency that's approved, they will all have a lower credit counseling interest rate. So as soon as you put it into credit counseling, which, by the way, does not factor into the credit scoring algorithm, they will drop your interest rate if you pay through a credit counseling agency. So you'll make one monthly payment, probably very similar to what you're already sending as a minimum payment direct to the creditors. You'll make that probably similar one level monthly payment to the credit counseling agency, and then they'll distribute it each month to each of the creditors. And in exchange for that, you'll get this reduced interest rate. And the combination of that level monthly payment, meaning it doesn't go down as the balances come down, it stays fixed throughout the payback, plus the lower interest rate allows you to pay the debt back on average 80% faster. So that would be the place that I would go. And our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org is my trusted and preferred organization to work with. They're all believers. They've worked with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of our faith and finance listeners. They're wonderful folks. And, I think this would be the place that I would start.
That is sounds wonderful, because I won't mention any names of credit cards, but one of them is the interest rate is actually close to 30%. It's crazy.
Wow. Yeah. So that'll come way down and they'll tell you where each of those cards will drop to. Let me ask you, have you worked out a payment plan with the IRS, what's often called an offer in compromise? I'm sorry, I lost you. What did you say you had?
I apologize for the. Yes, I have. I'm on a monthly payment plan with them. It's all set. They auto draft from my my bank account. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the next step. I mean, that's great. I'm glad to hear you've done that. So stay current on that, and then reach out to ChristianCreditCounselors.org. They can help you with the credit card debt. That'd be the place that I'd go from here. Listen, my friend, we appreciate you being on the program today. You can do this. You will make it happen if you stay focused on it. Clearly. Your stewardship and desire to honor the Lord in repaying this is something that I know pleases the Lord, and ChristianCreditCounselors.org can help you. God bless you, Tim. If we can help further along the way, don't hesitate to reach out. Let's head to Ohio. We're going to finish today with Nell. Go right ahead.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I would have liked to have, I intend to get your guest book. I am an American of Arab descent. My parents come from the Middle East, and that means that I have been controlled all my life, at least in my family, that's what it means. My husband will tell me nothing. I have no idea what he makes. I don't work. I had a job for a few years. But he won't tell me anything. I don't know whether there's a savings account. He's pretty generous with an allowance. So is there any advice? What if he dies?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I am on the deed. I looked that up myself.
Yeah. Have you asked Nell to be brought into the finances, both from just a knowledge standpoint, as well as, you know, just having the ability to speak into the decisions that are being made? Have you all had that conversation?
I have asked repeatedly over the years.
And what does he say?
I feel he said there's no reason you know. You don't need to know anything. You'll be taken care of. That's what he said. You'll be cared for.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what that means. Does that mean we move in with one of the children, or do I have to sell the house? I said that once. I'll have to sell the house, and he said no, you won't. But I don't know.
Nell, are you all a part of a local church?
We are. I am. He goes, but he's not as faithful as I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I tithe out of what he gives to me out of my allowance, and he gives, but I don't know what he gives.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, clearly this is not God's design for marriage. I mean, two become one in every area, and that includes our finances. The resources that you all have don't belong to him or you. They belong to the Lord. And you all are managers together as one flesh, according to God's word, to be managing what God has entrusted to you, which means you have to know what's there. You have to be a part of the decision making, and clearly he's operating outside of that. Can you force this issue? No, I think you need to make it a matter of prayer that God would open his eyes. I think perhaps working through your local church, which I realize is perhaps going to make things very difficult if he's unwilling to respond to you directly, perhaps getting some counseling and see if he would be willing to go to sit with one of your pastors. Have you approached it that way?
I'd like to say that our pastor won't touch it. I spoke to my pastor's wife, and she has said, reiterated everything that you have said, but her husband, the pastor, won't touch it.
Well, then I would go as far as to say you're not in the right church if your pastor. That's the role of the local church here, Nell. And listen, let's do this. You stay on the line. I want to talk more about see if one of our certified Christian financial counselors can help. Stay right there. We'll talk a bit more off the air. I'm so sorry to hear what you're going through, but we're here to help you. Folks, that's going to do it for us. We're out of time today. Let me say thanks to my team, Jim Henry, Devin Patrick, Robert Youngblood. Couldn't do it with this without them. Thank you for being here as well. May the Lord bless you as you manage his money according to his principles. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.